still have to do the phone.
Yeah, because our original charge on Form Base was the existing V1. To look at the V1 district and think about an overlay for Form Base planning in the existing V1 district. This is a separate issue, which is a rezoning up K Avenue. Now, that could also have a Form Base overlay too, but, I mean, they're really different, completely different animals. And when I heard the mayor speak about what he wanted us to do, I think it was two council meetings ago, it was pretty clear that he was talking about the rezoning up K Avenue. And said that he thought we were working on that kind of in the last couple of years aggressively, and I kind of caught me by surprise. But since you kind of polled the council, I'm not exactly sure on the minutes is, I mean, if that is the opinion of the council, we could certainly hold a workshop and see what the interest is. I mean, if it turns out there's a lot of existing property owners that are going to fight it, then it might be pretty hard to do that.
I would have a workshop and invite council, because I know there are at least three that would like to be here.
Okay.
And that constitutes a council meeting, so. We can't, there can't be three of us in a room.
Right, sunshine law.
This week.
Well, would it be appropriate for the workshop to notify the existing property owners, or should we do that just by advertising?
I personally would like to, but I guess that's recommendation you guys would have to decide and, you know.
The council would have to prove that before we can even do it.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think council has.
No, we can hold our own workshops as a planning commission.
What if we started with the requirements to rezone, the process to rezone, give them a picture of the map, how would you draw the boundary lines to rezone? I mean, you could.
Well, when you look at the land.
It's not even feasible for us to be even going to a workshop and alert potential homeowners and aggravate them about their property being rezoned to business when it may never even happen. It may not even be a possibility. Because, I mean, you're taking, it's going to be hard to just take one lot in.
No, it would have to be.
The stream.
We need to know the exact process for a rezoning like this. I mean, that's kind of the starting point for something like this, is, you know, what exactly we need to do. Do we need to get every property owner to sign off? How many hearings do we have to have? You know, what sort of.
What's the, you know, what approximate cost, and what's going to cost the town to rezone?
Okay.
I mean, the reality is, if there's no plan for development, there's no plan for businesses to come into this town, why are you even bothering?
And that was my next question.
There's a lot of vacant property down there that's commercial, that's not being bought up.
Well, exactly, you know, I see that, and, you know, my question becomes one that the community wants certain kinds of services here, and do we change areas outside of the business district when there is already areas within the business district where there is land available and/or storefronts available for businesses to come in? Perhaps what the town needs to be doing is seeking out small business entrepreneurship to come in here and, you know, to start that coffee shop or that boutique or whatever it is, you know, to encourage people to come in here and to support them.
And I think it goes hand in hand. I think if, you know, we're working towards expanding the business district and trying to create businesses, then that may bring business, but they do go hand in hand. I mean, if you're not a proactive town for business, then this is probably not going to come here anyway. But by trying to go through this process and do this, I think that would help. It's also going to be a dollar figure to the town too, is how much it's going to cost to rezone all this stuff.
Well, one of the questions that comes to my mind is, are we simply meeting the basic needs of the residents of this community? Or do we want the central business district, no matter how you lay it out on the map, to be a destination?
Well, that's always been.
That's my question.
Again, I'm going to give my speech because Ronald Reagan, as governor, had it right. Okay, a lot of people forget that Ronald Reagan was governor of California for 8 years before he became president. And as governor, that's when I was involved with planning commissions there and all that sort of thing. He did something that was truly remarkable. He basically said that cities have to be run like a business. And the starting point for that is you had to have a strategic plan. It was called a master plan. And that everything had to conform to the master plan. Now, the master plan was a much broader vision of what you wanted to be as a community. I mean, did you want to be a destination? You had to go through all sorts of stuff. And then there were like 7 or 8 different categories. One was zoning and everything like that. Everything had to be consistent, and it had to be legally consistent with that overall vision. The problem in North Carolina, I'm just kind of talking, the problem in North Carolina is that primarily land use becomes the primary driving document, not the master plan, not a vision. And so what you're asking is extremely important. The problem is that we're not required to do it.
Is that our section that tells us stuff we need to bring? Development location? GS 168.
That's what authorizes the plan that's only commissioned to make.
Yeah, the rest of the provisions in there. I just want to test.
That's general statute.
Mm-hmm. That's not designated as zoning commission.
I think that's what gives the authority to the zoning commission to plan and zoning to do this.
So enabling legislation.
Yes, but it doesn't describe the steps for rezoning.
Isn't it against the laws?
But it might be in the direction.
Can there be, John, I mean, if you run into a situation where you've got not owner requested rezoning, but community, in quotes, community-based request for rezoning?
Since I've been here, we've only had one like that. And it was a community, but it was more like 5 or 6 people that got together. And then it was pretty much beaten down by the other 20 people in the community.
Can the community, or do we want the community to be in a position at a riled up meeting to either yay or nay changing a dozen properties into some kind of an overlay, that then council is caught in a position that, what are we doing here? Now all of a sudden it becomes unclear. We've got a divided community, and that's not the intention. We want to come together and do something good.
Well, I mean, think about the map. Think about my general plan or master plan, just as you were talking about. What is the strategic vision of doing this? Okay, as I look at this, this is probably not the best time for destination economies right now. If everything was booming and built out and everything like that, then I could see something like this. But we've got a couple problems. One is that most of the prime properties in here are owned by a relatively few number of people, and I assume they're paid off. And they're going to sit on those properties, and they're not going to, there's absolutely no improvement. I won't say that. There is some improvement in some of the properties, but there's very little what I would expect to have normal turnover of property that would enhance it and people coming in and new developers and stuff like that. And I'm not sure if that's going to change.
Now you've piqued my interest, because if you're saying that there's a lack of competition, then maybe we...
Well, that's what I'm thinking. This could create competition for that. That's exactly what I was leading to, is that this actually may stimulate some activity by doing something like this. And the other thing, too, is that if, let's say we were to create a different business district, not called B1, B2, but like B5, which would just allow certain, it basically would be RA2, but we'd add a few more elements in it. So, you could have some retail, which is really what we're talking about. Add retail and maybe a small restaurant, coffee shops as part of a permitted use. I can't see a whole lot of people in here objecting to that, because that would probably enhance the value of the properties. Would you think that that's the case?
But then again, you got to remember how many RA2s there are on Cherry Beach. We're not just talking about one.
No, but we're not adding to the RA2. We're just taking that corridor. Let's say that corridor, and we call it a B5. Okay, and the B5 corridor there would have exactly the description as a RA2, but then we'd add a few more permitted uses in light retail sort of thing. So
that would probably go over a lot more than
Right, right. And that probably would enhance the value, so I can't see a lot of the people here, because it gives them more opportunity if they do want to sell the properties, if they want to do something with it. But I'm guessing that the property owners wouldn't object to that because of enhanced value.
Yeah, it probably would go over a lot better, and I would say that that would be in the general all-around intent of the land use plan at the time.
That's a thought. Craig, I mean, you guys know this because I came to you last winter, but also for Dennis's benefit. Curie Beach does not have a strategic plan. We don't have a long-term plan. We don't have a mission statement. We don't have a vision. And I tried to get this started after I came on the council, and in some cases ran into a brick wall. We have a couple of little things on paper, but the council has never passed them. What we ended up with was a long-term capital plan, so that at least we know what capital projects we need to start saving money for. I'm hoping sometime in the future we can expand that into just having a strategic plan and vision for the town, but that's...
There was some discussion of it. I thought it was kind of a healthy, it probably only lasted one evening on a council meeting, but...
It lasted for several months.
No, your process did, but yeah. Before you came on the council, yeah. there was one meeting where there's a bit of discussion where one of the council members, and I forget who it was, made an argument that, well, what we really are is a bedroom community. Okay, whether you agree with this or not, at least it was a sense of a vision. That we're a bedroom community, primarily a residential community, and the idea of the commercial activities was to support that residential. And that's a vision. Now, whether it's one that you want, it is a vision in terms of what we want to be. And if that's the case, this probably doesn't make a lot of sense, what we're talking about, because this probably is a sufficient commercial activity to satisfy the needs of a resident. Now, if we want to be a destination, a destination and kind of grab in people that are coming to the island or across the bridge or something like that, then, the more commercial activities that you have that are nice looking, that really does create some sort of an attraction. Because we do have some, we have a nice park, we've got the, some of the amenities we've added right now and so forth. So, but you're right, I mean, that's going to create, someone's going to come up with a vision.
I don't think that vision comes from us.
No.
That's got to come from council and the community.
It's not going to happen before November.
Well, yeah, November is what, 26 days? Yeah, 26 days away, so.
Let me just kind of throw out a suggestion just so we kind of get moving on this. Now that we have four members, we can actually do things, I think. I still think we can, since we're kind of charged with looking at this by the council, I wouldn't have any problem advertising a workshop and just kind of getting some sense about how people feel about this. Both the existing business owners and the existing B1, if they would object to it. I mean, they may like it because they may see it as bringing more business down, down into Curie Beach. They may see it as competition. They may not like it. But we could have a workshop where we talk about that, and obviously any of the property owners up and down that corridor there, and just kind of open it up for a discussion, just like what we're doing right now.
And wouldn't the driving force of that workshop be the Sawyer plan? Because that's really where the whole marketing information came out, but the community said they want it. And now you're saying, community, this is what you told us that you want, and the actions we need to take to give you what you want would include these 12 things. Is this where you want to go?
Yeah, I think we have to start the conversation someplace. Would anybody object to us setting up a workshop, advertising a workshop for a rezoning into what I would call light commercial or light business?
You know, and I would just make sure that people understand that that's not really a true term of zoning ordinance. It is just a convenient term that you're using now.
To describe.
Just something to describe, yeah, which we're trying to do. There may be a technical name for that in the zoning, state zoning regulations, you know.
Should you include residential in this, like residential, like commercial?
Yeah, and.
People aren't just saying, oh, my property now is going to be. Because look at the attitude, their property's commercial, it'll be zoned commercial.
Right, right. I mean, we call it mixed use, you want to just call it mixed use.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be the best way to call it. I mean, it really is a mixed use is what we're trying to encourage down there. So maybe that, you know, that would be, how about if we set up a workshop to discuss possibilities of rezoning K Avenue up to 7th Street as a mixed-use residential and commercial.
This may be too early, but something I'd like you to address if we get that far down the road. What you mentioned earlier about it has to be owner-occupied so that if there's residential upstairs, it has to be occupied by the owner downstairs. And I personally disagree with that and hope we can readdress that.
When did you say? When did we talk about?
You mentioned it earlier in reading something out of the land use plan. And I remember when it was talked about a few years ago, it's talked about over and over again, well, if we're going to do mixed use, it's going to have to be owner occupied.
Oh, okay. I don't think that's, I don't think you can.
That'd be a hard sell.
Yeah, I don't think you can. You can enforce that one. I don't think you can enforce that one.
I would not want to see us go there.
Yeah,
that would be totally the market.
I mean, is there a second to that motion of holding a workshop?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? We obviously have to figure out time and stuff like that. But.
I do have a little discussion on before you declare on that. Is the Sawyer plan or some accumulation of the information, a compilation of information, available on the website? Or has the community received hard copies of that? Or?
I don't believe it's on the website. I think it is.
If it's not, it's easy to because it has been scanned and it's in PDF form.
Yeah, so I don't think that we would have wanted to be out there, and as part of the announcements on this, that in fact it is available for.
And in fact, that's an important thing because there have actually been four different studies that have been done, and the council decided maybe about 6-7 months ago that the Sawyer plan was going to be the document.
You know, and it's not all, it's 50 pages or so, so I would want to make sure that it's downloadable also.
It is.
With them to the meeting. And
yeah, it's a, I'm pretty sure it's a PDF file. In fact, it can be mailed out. It's mailed to me.
There's a cost to that we have to incur now when we mail it.
No, I mean email.
Oh, email.
Sure. Any further discussion on the motion to have a workshop? An informative workshop. Information gathering workshop. Okay. Without further discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Question is, when do we want to do this? Emily, you said that you want the council involved with this too? This original workshop, do you think?
Yes. Yes. And one of our council members will be out of town until about the 18th or 19th.
That's so nice.
Sometime well. After that would be good. And then
is there any particular evening? Would it make sense to do it before the council meeting or before our? I mean, our next planning commission meeting would be what, a month from now.
Yeah, our next council meeting is the 18th, so.
I don't think it's a workshop. I don't think there's a legal time frame for a workshop, a notice. I think it's more of a.
Just
to
our next P&Z meeting is on November 8th, I believe, which is also election day, so that needs to be rescheduled anyway. Let me see.
your general feeling that we want to do it during the P&Z meeting? That's the easiest solution for us, a workshop.
Yeah, the next meeting needs to be rescheduled anyway.
Thank you for that.
I mean, we could start it at 6 o'clock. Does anybody object to our next meeting being at 6 o'clock and have the hearing or the workshop during our normal P&Z? So I got to reschedule it anyway.
I have no objection to it, but with this being a fairly volatile situation, giving it an hour, are we anticipating that we're going to cut it off at 7 o'clock
for
our meeting, or are we just going to make it our meeting?
Yeah. The first is on Tuesday.
I mean, we can make it as part of our meeting, and that would go as long as we want.
The 8th is second Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
So we don't have to reschedule a meeting.
So your meeting would be November 1st?
I'm wrong. Yeah, it's going to be for first.
No, that's right. Our meeting is November 1st?
It's not first Tuesday.
I would suggest that what we do is we have the workshop from 6 to 7. But with a clear understanding that we don't have to cut it off. I mean, we can continue on afterwards. I mean, there's no question about that. So, would that be okay for everybody? All right. So, John, are you going to, how should we get the advertising out?
I'm going to get Josie's information and figure out how she should advertise that.
And the right wording, I mean,
yeah, we'll
nice
put it in the paper because our time is typically 7, so we'll have to get a notice out that the time has changed.
Yeah, workshop to explore the possibility of...
We'll grab this and forward
mixed use.
It's just like we have a notice going out now that's a joint meeting between Parks and Recreation, the Community Center Committee, and the Council. Okay. So, however,
if you think there's going to be three people, then it would have to be a joint. It would have to be a joint.
Yes, it would
workshop.
Have to be a joint. So this could be exactly like the ad that Nancy's putting out now.
All right, I'll get with Nancy.
Because I know at least three, if not all four, would like to be there.
Okay. Yeah. So it would have to be a joint, and use language like to explore the possibility of a mixed use district. Of rezoning, I mean, it is rezoning, so rezoning into a mixed-use district along K Avenue from 3rd Street to 7th Street. All right, good. So that'll be on November 1st. I'm in no real hurry for the our discussion of alternative energy. I think it's something that we do have to deal with because I think it's proactive. My general feeling, just to kind of guys, you know, my general feeling is I'm all in favor of alternative energy, so I would hate to be as restrictive as the North Carolina general statutes allow us to be. I think personally that just because you're lucky enough to have your backside facing the, you know, southeastern exposure versus your front side, that would put you at a disadvantage. So I would hate to restrict people from not putting, say, solar panels on the front of their house. I do think that the thing we do have to be careful about is that it doesn't extend above the roof line or below the roof line. I'm also against freestanding above a certain size. I mean, technically, your little solar light that you put in is a freestanding solar cell. But maybe above a certain size for a freestanding, because I think freestanding must present problems.
Did you get my email about the woman up in Dare County that could talk to you about what other municipalities, you know, local governments, what their regulations are, ordinances are. She could probably tell you just about what everybody already has.
Okay.
So you wouldn't have to reinvent the wheel and go from there and see if they're too strict or too lenient.
Probably need to building codes also, since we're in a high wind area.
Yeah.
That's
they can give
issue.
You that on
all the lot
of
those things set up on the roof.
Yeah.
And, you know, quite frankly, windmills. We shouldn't be having a
windmill. Well, there are other ones.
There are
the wind miles. windmills, there's another squiggly one that's much less...
Offensive.
Offensive.
And, you know, I mean, as we talked about last time, most of the counties now have regulations regarding windmills, because the problem there is noise. I mean, one is, it may not look very good, but also noise. And so usually that, the way that the counties have been dealing with windmills is setback requirements, you know, that if it's a certain size, it's got to be set back, and I think I gave some examples last time.
And I think the squiggly ones don't make as much noise.
Yeah, I mean, there's good some options like that. Now, do we want to have a bunch of squiggly ones that everybody's...
Exactly.
You know, I mean, so there's also an aesthetic issue also, but...
Well, there's also the noise issue as well. I mean, you know, if you've got something that's whining away at you and your neighborhood, it's not...
I'm not sure how many windmills we're going to have, but you know someone's going to put one up. You know, I mean, that's the bottom line, and so trying to be proactive. I think the solar panels, you know, it's clearly going to be the major issue. Chapel Hill has taken a position where there's absolutely no restrictions. In fact, they encourage you to do it. You know, that's Chapel Hill. I think a community that's an amenity-based community of tourism, we do have to be careful about aesthetics. And, you know, I'm all for alternative energy, but I'd be a little bit nervous about having things extend above the roof line. And some of the things like that. That's just my own. But we don't have to decide anything right now. We could invite this person in.
I don't know if she'd come all the way from Nag's Head.
You think it might be worth just to have me talk to her?
She would do it, yes. Yeah. Plus, I think she'd be willing to do it by Skype or Skype.
All right. Is there any more comments about, you know, I'm going to recommend that we table this and we... In fact, what I might even do is try to talk to this person and then maybe come in with an initial proposal for an ordinance to deal with this that we could tear apart in our next meeting, if that's okay.
I did have one question. Are you familiar with, like, neighborhood packages that they can either do with solar panels or with windmills where, you know, a group of people can get together and put together their own little... collective, cooperative, or whatever, and share the resource and the cost and the distribution, and it supplements the work of the power company, Progress Energy, to kind of supplement what they're...
They're actually, this is a more complicated thing than you think, because one of the complications is in fact that one, because if you have a cooperative group of people co-owning a windmill or solar panel, technically it's a utility unit. Okay, and versus one person doing it, and I'm not sure exactly what the general statutes are on that. They may be kind of silent, but I believe that there's a different set of regulations if you have a cooperative doing it, because it's technically a utility, and therefore would not be allowed because that's not a permitted use in these residential things as a utility. But if one person does it, then it's fine. So it's just kind of the other thing, which is a fascinating thing, I think, is the right to sun. That if you allow these sort of things, and again, California is a great example of it because there's lawsuits all over the place now in California, that if you have a municipality that allows a solar panel to go up, you're implying that that person has a right to sun, which means that if someone's tree is growing up in the back, that that person can then force that person to cut down the tree. And those have actually been held up in California courts, and I'm sure they could extend throughout the United States.
Or if you have a single-story house, you can't build two.
You can't build it, right, exactly. So there's a whole bunch of issues that are a little more complicated, and that's why you need little phrases like, you know, that this ordinance does not mean that you have a right to sun, you know, as part of the ordinance and stuff like that. So, but if that's okay, I'll go ahead and contact this person, chat with her, and if it's okay, I'll bring in just a very quick proposed ordinance that we can kind of tear apart with whatever the next one be. Okay, in our next meeting, if that's okay.
Sounds good.
All right, since I kind of brought this up. Is there any additional, you know, again, for form-based planning, obviously I don't think we're going to do anything on that until we start pushing into this workshop stuff. But is there any other new business that anybody wants to talk about? Any member items?
I'm just waiting for the council to point us out.
Is there a, John, is there anything that's kind of, I mean, usually you have some jacuzzi type of issue.
Power, no.
No.
Coach, what you done? This goes back to the alternative energy. Don't get nervous. If someone came and said they wanted to do an above-ground water collection on the side of their prospect, said that, wouldn't allow, is there something in the ordinance that says that that's not allowed, or is there anything that's not allowed in that setback?
The way I've always interpreted it, nothing's allowed in the setback.
For the water collection?
Above ground, anyway.
We don't need to discuss that.
Yeah, I mean, there's some pretty ugly things. By the way, I believe that at UNCW tomorrow, there is an alternative. This is my member item, I guess. I have been getting regular emails from Mac Montgomery about an alternative energy, I guess for the offshore windmills that have been proposed, and he's really into that, and so they're going to have a program workshop, whatever it is, at UNCW tomorrow. So I'm going to try to get there since I'll be out there anyway and see what they're talking about. So, I'm a big fan of alternative energy, but I would hate to see them off.
I don't know that you could see them considering how far they're going to put them. Now, John probably could go out there in his boat and see them, but I'm not sure you could see them from land, not without binoculars.
The UNC study that was done that has those pictures when they show them out there, and I had the statistics last time, but those are based upon the technology that was around about 4 or 5 years ago in terms of size. They are more than triple that size right now, you know. And every single year, particularly in Sweden and Denmark, where these things are built, they're coming out with new generations. So right now, they're about three times the size as the ones that are in those Chapel Hill that report where they show the, you know, way out there like that. So
how far are they thinking about going?
20 to 30 miles.
How far can you see?
Oh, but these are
going to
be
500.
But they're 5 miles out. These are 500 foot. Yeah. These are 500 foot generators now.
And you might be able to see that.
Yeah. I don't either. These are big.
I wouldn't mind seeing something out there. Sometimes it's just black.
I always heard that Wilmington
the coast
was in the flight pattern for Air Force One.
No, then a bird before.
They do the practice runs out there.
Yeah, but I was wondering, since we are in that practice run for Air Force One going into Reagan or whatever it is, or not Reagan, the military base there.
Cherry.
In Washington, I'm thinking.
Oh,
yeah. No, I mean, we are the practice. I mean, you've seen that. Yeah, it's on Air Force One.
Huge windmills, the 500-footers, would actually even be allowed out here if they were...
I'll find out tomorrow if I get to that. I'm sure that the whole thing is going to be discussed tomorrow with, you know, but Mac is pretty keen on that.
Ask any questions.
Yeah, so are you going to try to get there?
I think the people that are doing it are the same ones.
Well, yes.
They did the presentation.
Should be one segment, or not?
Not sure, though. But I have been in all day long, so hopefully I'll be in bed.
I was at the New Hanover County Board of Supervisors meeting last night. We were at a little testing. You didn't see the videos on that?
No, I didn't.
Jason Thompson got a little...
I didn't see it.
I was there last week when Barfield kissed Dean.
That was something to see.
Okay, is there a motion to adjourn?
Guys, that's what I'm
going to do.
Okay, second? All right, all in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Okay. And I need to sign these minutes.
Yes, please.
Was that just a photo op when Barfield kissed him on the cheek? Remember the old Medal of Honor family?
Real formal moment.
Remember the Medal of Honor family when Sammy Davis Jr. kissed Archie on the cheek?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, reference to the windmills.